So tonight's passage is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You do not know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You'll drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many."
All right. Good evening. Welcome, friends. My name is Nigel. I lead the team here at Christchurch, and I have a warm welcome to you. If you are new with us tonight, what a great night to come along and to see a little bit more of how our church operates and what matters to us. And can I say that serving God with the gifts that he has given you has always, to me, been an awesome delight. I began my ministry time doing kids ministry, actually at this church. I first did kids ministry here a long time ago. I'm still doing kids ministry. Here is my year four boys. They are always this well-behaved. Friday afternoons at Kids Space. We often have twice as many. I lead with the awesome Hugo and Josh. And we have just an absolute cracking time from 3:30 till 6 on a Friday afternoon. We eat, we play games, we do memory verses, we have a talk, we do discussion groups. We generally try and stop the boys from rumbling. And it is absolutely awesome. I love serving in great ministry, and I would love you tonight to find some way of jumping into serving if you're not yet serving. I'd love you tonight to find some way perhaps to transition from something you have been doing to something else. Lots of opportunities after church tonight, and I guarantee you that no matter your gifting, no matter your passions, you will find a stall that is right for you. No questions about that, but there is a question that we should ask each other tonight, that we should ask in a setting like this, on a night like this, in a culture like this, in a place like this, given that we are thinking about service, and here it is. Why is it? Why is it that so many of us constantly feel stretched and stressed and strained? I talk to a lot of people in our church, and these words often come up because life is busy with lots of good things. There's work, there's study, there's weddings, there's parties, there's catch-ups, there's coffees, there's run clubs, there's family, and everything is all so demanding that suddenly you can get into a weekend and feel like your whole diary is absolutely full. And it's not just a season, this is actually just life. As James said earlier, in many ways, life just gets busier from here. And so it's easy to come to church on a night like tonight and just think, oh, I just can't do the serving thing because it just doesn't fit. And to be encouraged even to think about it just feels like a burden. Or to feel like we've been carrying so much and to add things, more things in, is just too difficult. Maybe I need to stop serving to manage my life choices. And so some of us come into church today looking for an hour of calm, and you found it Serve Sunday, and you hear the reading in Mark 10, and your brain is now ticking away at the edge of overwhelm. And I'm not describing all of us all the time, but I reckon this is some of us most of the time, and most of us some of the time. Well, here's the thing I want us to consider today, and me included, is that are we causing ourselves unnecessary grief and burden in life because we're holding too tightly to and giving too much importance to things that in God's mind and in God's plans for the world don't actually matter? Are we pursuing unimportant things in the world as if they are the thing that matters most in life? Sometimes the call to serve feels burdensome because we think that being a Christian is about doing more, but you know, it's not about doing more. Being a Christian is about doing different. You are, if you are a Christian, different to the world around you. You actually will do life different to the day before you became a Christian. You'll do different to the unbeliever who works next to you in the office. And I want to gently suggest this evening that sometimes the burden of time and energy we feel as we begin to contemplate serving is actually because we're trying to live a hybrid life. We're trying to give importance to too many things or give importance to the wrong things in the eyes of God. Or simply we're trying to fit too many things in and too many of the wrong things into our life and into our diaries. And so here's what we're going to do this evening. I want us to take a deep dive look into the life that Jesus and the whole of the New Testament actually calls us to live. And then I'm going to shine a little light on some sacred cows. I'm going to say some dangerous things, and then I'm going to encourage you to get serving at the end. So grab your Bible if you don't still have Mark 10 open. There's a Bible at your knees or a Bible on your phone. Right there in Mark chapter 10, verse 35, we find two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, and they're on this quiet little private side quest to achieve for themselves glory, both in the world and in the eyes of Jesus. So they sidle up to Jesus, and verse 35, they say to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Now just look at the pronouns there. We want you to do for us what we ask. You know who they're speaking to? The God of the universe. The one who's just walked on water, who's done all manner of healings and miracles and other things. And we're like, now we want you to work for us. And Jesus, in a really beautiful way, says to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now I don't think Jesus is playing games. I think he's actually wanting to expose their thinking and expose what's going on in their minds, because what's going on for them is often the same as what's going on for us and people through the generations. So Jesus wants to teach us and them something right here. And so here comes their request in verse 37. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Now, that might sound like a wildly bizarre request, particularly if you cast your eyes back to verse 34, where Jesus explains what is about to happen to him. In verse 34, he said, "There are Gentiles, the nations, who are going to mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And 3 days later, he's going to rise up from the dead." But I reckon James and John are still thinking about perhaps what happened at the back in the end of chapter 8. So flick back with me to the end of chapter 8, very last verse in chapter 8, and remember what Jesus said to his disciples there in chapter 8. He said, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation," verse 38, "the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And so there's James and John thinking to themselves, well, we're not ashamed of Jesus. Maybe we can get a part of the glory of Jesus when he comes. Into chapter 9, verse 1, "And he said to them, 'Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death.'" And they're like, "We're not dead." Well, "before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." So they've got these words resonating in their minds. They're thinking, power, glory, Son of Man. We can actually work with Jesus. Jesus, let us sit at your right and your left in your glory. Share it with us. And Jesus responds with this very curt rebuke in verse 38. "You don't know what you're asking." Chapter 10, 38 again. Jesus said, "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared." Now, I don't have time today to unpack all of this, and we'll look at this in some more detail when we look at Mark chapter 10 in term 3, third quarter next year. But it's clear, isn't it, that Jesus is using the metaphorical language of baptism and cup to symbolize his death for the sins of the whole world. He's speaking here about the event at the very heart of Christianity, and he's saying, you cannot die for the sins of the world like I can. Therefore, you cannot have glory with me. You cannot be glorified by the Father because you can't do the job of bearing the sins of the world as only I can do. And he goes on, he says to them, you will be put to death and in the same way I am, but you will not die on the cross when I do, because two others will be on my right and my left when I die on the cross. So they've come to Jesus seeking power and glory, and Jesus says, no. It's not the response they wanted, and nor did they want everyone else to find out. But verse 41, if you have a look, so everyone finds out, everyone is super cranky that the two of them went on a private side quest to get some glory, but they're actually not cranky because they asked for the wrong thing. They're cranky because they thought they might miss out too. And so Jesus then calls them all together and uses this moment as a moment to teach them and us about greatness, about power, about leadership, and about the Christian life. Listen to what Jesus says, verse 42. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. See what Jesus says there? If you want glory, serve. Don't look for special seats. Don't look for special titles. Just get serving. If you want to win, become a slave. Not a master, not a powerful person, but become one who sits under the authority of another. For, because when you do this, you are being like Jesus. Have a look with me, verse 45. Jesus says, for, because even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, because Jesus, the King of glory, the Son of God, the one with power over sin and power over death, the one with power over the devil and sickness, the one who can walk on water and cast out demons, because Jesus came to serve, so ought his followers do the same. So true leadership and true power and true greatness and true wins are found by serving others, by placing yourself under the authority of others. And can I say, this is where Christianity is absolutely and completely countercultural to everything that you learnt in your schooling and university life and everywhere else where you've been taught to see and believe anything. This is upside down. It's inside out. It's flat out crazy. You are called not to seek your own desires. You are called not to set your own agenda. You are called not to be your own person. But you're called to serve others with joy and delight. Now, this is what Jesus is teaching us to think and live here, to be like the household servant, to be like the indentured slave, whose activities are not directed towards their own glory or their own benefit or their own interests or their own joy, but whose activity is directed towards the glory and benefit and interest and joy of others. And while the motivation for this is the example of Jesus, when you dig a little bit deeper, there is an ontology to this that the New Testament takes even further, that takes us to an even more profound level than just even Mark 10:45. And that's what I did. I looked at every occurrence in the whole of the New Testament of the two root words that Jesus uses here, the word for service and the word for slave, so diakonos and doulos, just to see what God had to say in his word. There's several hundred instances throughout all the New Testament. It's sort of, where do these two words pop up? And what do we learn when we look at these words that Jesus has used here in these verses? Here's what I found, three things. Number one, there are lots of references to Paul and Peter and their co-workers being servants of the gospel or servants of the Lord. Lots of descriptions of people serving, but I was looking for something about us. Where's this language used about us? And so I kept searching and there's no reference to us being servants of God or servants of Jesus in any way, which actually makes sense of the language. Look at Mark 10:45 again, and you see that it says Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. So that it would then be weird for the New Testament to call us servants of Jesus if it actually says in Mark 10:45 he didn't come to be served. So then I'm thinking, right, I've got to look into the slave word, and this is where the action is. And what you find is that God nestles us even more deeply in his world as servants and slaves than we might ever feel comfortable with. What I mean is that Christians are not just called to be like servants. We're not just called to be like slaves. In fact, the language of the New Testament is that we are actually slaves of God. That's who you are when you're a Christian. You're a slave of God. And that means every moment of your life should be directed toward the glory of God. Every moment of your life ought to be directed towards God's benefit. Every breath you breathe, every step you take is actually made in the interests of God and for God's joy and glory. Here's three verses that I think stood out to me as I was looking at this theme. First one is from Romans chapter 6. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. This is the trajectory for those who put themselves under the authority of God as his slaves, is holiness and eternal life. And then from James chapter 4, verse 7, similar language, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submission is such a horrible concept in our world, but here, submit yourself to God, sit under his authority, be his slave, and he will protect you and look after you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Don't make yourself a slave in the world. Make sure you are being a slave of God. Now, we got pretty deep here into the reality of who we are as Christians, but this all led toward another thought bubble for me, and it was to this, that as a Christian, I'm a slave to God who's actually called me to be a servant and slave to other people. And so this is all sort of captured then in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, which says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so how can we not ask ourselves this question? Is this how I see myself? And is God the one I truly live for? Are the things that are important to God actually the things that are important to me? And as you read the New Testament, we're called to use our energy in sort of interconnected, ever-growing circles, where the first one is we're called to worship God. We're called to care for our family. That includes getting involved in work. We're called to serve our church. We're called to love the world. And so I ask myself, is this the shape of my life? Is this the shape of how I think about life? As God's slave, is every moment of my life directed towards these plans and God's plans for the world? Can we and do we say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord? Perhaps let me ask this question by way of contrast. Are you living life as a slave to God, or are you living a hybrid life? Rather than for God, perhaps living like everyone else in the world, but Christianly. You're pursuing all the same things that everyone in the world pursues, but doing it nicely. You're pursuing all the same things that all your unbelieving friends pursue in the world, but doing it without swearing so much. That's the hybrid life. It's like, I just do what everyone else does nicely. But that's not what Jesus calls you to. He calls us to be slaves of his goals for the world, not slaves of our own goals for the world. So are God's plans for the world and me my first interest? Or am I making my own plans, following my own plans for the world and just doing them with Jesus in mind? That's the hybrid life. Doing what everyone else is doing, and praying occasionally to sanctify what I'm trying to do. And can I say, that's what leads to burden and grief. That's what leads to moments where you come into church on Serve Sunday and think, oh, I can't do it all because I'm trying to do it all. Because you're not orienting your life around God. You're orienting your life around yourself. And so that led me to then an examination of our sacred cows. Now, this is where this sermon sort of gets a little bit dangerous. I'm going to ask some questions in a minute. And they're the sort of questions that I think we really ought to be asking ourselves. As people living in this culture at this time, in this place, in this way, my big concern in all of this, across the whole of the day I've been thinking about this, is that having been set free by Christ to serve God, we've actually placed ourselves under new and fresh yokes of slavery rather than the loving freedom of slavery to God. And I'm concerned that we feel stretched and stressed and strained because we've absorbed so much of the culture that we've stopped even thinking about what God wants us to do. We're just living life like everyone else, and we've stopped thinking, what does God want me to do in the world? How do I use my time and energy in the world? How do I use my money in the world? What's the right thing for me to do as God's slave, not as someone who lives in the world? As though set free to love Jesus and serve others, are we using our freedom to serve ourselves? Or to serve the Lord God? Is Jesus the one calling the shots in your life? So let me ask you about three sacred cows, which I wish I'd asked myself 20 years ago. Number one, life balance and rest. Is your desire for a balanced life and your pursuit of rest a running toward God or a running away from God? Because in the New Testament, rest is about running toward God, not running away from God and away from Him and His responsibilities. And is the way that you put your life together helping you to be a slave of God who uses the gifts you've been given to serve others? Or is the way you've put your life together just allowing you to be indulgent? Number two. Is your desire to accumulate money and not give any to church, let alone 10%, actually indicative that you serve money and not God, and you're a slave to one, and not, you can only be a slave to one of those two things? And is your desire to accumulate money helping you to be a slave of God and to use the gifts that God has given you to serve others? Or are you just bowing to all the fear the media keeps feeding you about life? And thirdly, is your pursuit of the Instagram worthy life with the good job and the overseas travel and the half marathon followed by the full marathon and the beautiful food and the clean home helping you to be a slave of God who uses the gifts you've been given to serve others, or are you just exalting yourself? Now, there's lots more questions we could ask, right? And I can't answer those questions for you, and each of us will answer them differently, but these are the sort of dangerous, honest questions we need to ask ourselves and each other. I hope that these are the sort of dangerous, honest questions that you ask in your growth groups, that you eyeball each other and say, why did you do that? And is that what a slave of God would do? And I reckon if we answer them honestly, we might find that the burdens we feel, the things that tire us out, wear us down, and leave us no room to worship God or care for family or serve the church or love the world, are burdens that we need not be bearing, but they're burdens we've taken on because we think we just need to be like the world. And I think you'd find that if you go to Christ and you take on His yoke, you'll find that it is light and His burden is easy. And He's for you. We are people who've been designed to serve, to take up our crosses day by day, not to burn out quickly with a few years of cross bearing and then be useless for the rest of our lives, but we are those who are called to maximize our sacrificial Christ-like giving, the giving of ourselves for others, for the glory of God, for the long haul. Is that the shape of your life? Well, it's still Serve Sunday, so what are we going to do with all of this? Well, I want to speak to four different groups of people in our gathering tonight. And first, I want to say a massive thank you to all who do serve sacrificially as slaves of God. I praise God for you, and we see you. We see you in the quiet spaces. We see you in the small moments. We see you in the big moments. We see different people all over the place. And I praise God for every single person who is sacrificially serving as a slave of God. And I hope today is some encouragement to you that you might keep going at that for the glory of God. And when you get out to the stalls, get around there and chat with people and encourage people. And maybe this is the year where you might change from something in 2025 to something different in 2026. Keep going. Number two, I want to speak to those who've heard what's been said today, who perhaps are newish around nights and are ready to get serving in some way, shape or form, to use the gifts that you've been given to serve others. Can I encourage you to get out there tonight, to get into something, to join a team and to work out how you're going to use your gifts here for God's glory. We want to welcome so many people aboard teams tonight, and we really want you to hit up the stalls and work out where you're going to put your time and energy and money in the year ahead. So please do that. Third group of people. I know for some, this is not your season for serving more than just worshiping God and looking after what's happening inside your house. I'm thinking about those people among our community who are mums of young kids, dads of young kids. I'm thinking about those people who are sick or suffering themselves, who just actually getting out to church tonight was itself a big enough burden. I'm thinking about those people who care for others in circumstances like that, who just getting to actually engage with God and care for their family each day just maxes you out. Can I say, if that is you, you are serving God with the gifts you've been given. We praise God for you. And keep going. We don't want to add burdens to people, because being a Christian is not about adding things in. It's just about serving God where you're at. And if all you can do is just look after the people in your household, praise God for that. Unreal. Keep going. But finally, perhaps you're among those who are burdened by the life you're living. Perhaps you are gripping too tightly to the unimportant with no time for the things that really matter. Well, here's my encouragement to you today. I want to encourage you, sign up for something today that you'll do next year. Don't make the change when you've changed everything. Change something to motivate you to change. So sign up for something now, and when you sign up, say to the person you sign up with, I want to start in February. And give yourself 4 months to reorient your life. Give yourself 4 months to get yourself out of slavery to the world into slavery to God, and to find yourself with room to move and room to breathe. Reorder your life around His priorities, around His glory, around what brings Him joy. And I assure you, you will find joy in that is untold and wonderful.